That in a Jewish tradition, when men came in, you had to rule it of synagogue. If you came to church, you better be ready. Because the synagogue ruler would grab a scroll, a book of the Bible, and he'd go over and hand it to somebody. He said, Brother Scott, you up. And you got to take it, and you got to go over there and open it. You got to read something, and you got to say something about that. So you had to be ready when you went to church, just like every one of us needs to be ready. Because God has a word for you. You need to be ready for it. Praise the Lord. It's great being here again. It's always a pleasure coming here, and it's always an experience. We got stories to tell every time we go back home. Last year, all the color was taken out of this place. We got up that morning, everything was white. This time, the earth shook. So I can't wait to come back next year. Praise the Lord. It's great. It's great being here. Great church, great pastors. We love them. Whether you know it or not, they selected me as one of their presbyters. And so I'm kind of responsible for you. And we pray for you. And I share with your pastor. He calls me whenever he feels like it. Sometimes he's in 3 feet of snow, but he still calls me. Just to let him know how he's doing, you know. And I have to tell him he'll live. So, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I got a message that God has given me, and I entitled it, What Does the Letter Say? You know, we look in the Bible and God's Word. God says he's the creator of everything, even you and me. He created everything. He knows everything. He is everything. And he's a God that seems to like to write things down. And when we look at the Bible, the first thing we see that he writes down 10 commandments. He gives them to Moses, and he writes them down with his own finger on some stone tablets. And then God inspired Moses really to write the first 5 books of the Bible. He inspired him to write it. God wanted it written down so everybody could read it and understand who he is and what he is. And then all the prophets that God spoke to and that God raised up in the Old Testament, before they died, he got them to write it down. That's why we have the books of the prophets in here. He inspired them to write it down so it'll be left for us to read it. And that's why Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's why it's written down. It's all written down for that reason. And, of course, you know, the world says that, you know, the Bible was written by men. And they're absolutely correct. What they don't understand is that God inspired it. God dictated it. God led them to write it, told them how to write it, led them to write it by the Holy Spirit. And we even find that in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, that God instructs the Apostle John, as he was running from the persecution on the Isle of Patmos, to write 7 letters to 7 of the churches in Asia. And John wrote it down as God dictated the letters as from him. Every letter was dictated to John. He wrote it down, and it is a letter from the Lord himself to that particular church. And The Bible tells us that God hasn't quit writing. In fact, he's still writing even as I speak. He's writing. But he's not writing on stone tablets. He's not writing on parchment papers. He's not writing on paper. He's not writing on a CD. He's not writing on anything like that. But he's writing on the hearts of his people. Because in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33, it says this. This is what the Lord said. This is the promise of the new covenant. It says, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So what God is doing, he's writing not on paper or stone anymore, but he's writing even as I speak on the hearts of his people what his life is, what his mind is, what his heart is, what his word is. He's writing it on our hearts. And who are his people? His people are every born-again believer that's been touched by the power of God, by the word of the gospel, and life has been changed. This is what Paul says to the Corinthians in chapter 2. He says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. God is still writing, but he's writing not on paper, not on stone, but he's writing on all of his people's hearts. Your heart, my heart. He is writing. He's still writing. He's not finished with us yet. See, the letter is being written right now, even as I speak. See, the entire Bible was written for one reason, whether you realize it or not, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all for one purpose. And that purpose is to reveal who Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is. That's the reason part. It's Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. The blood of Jesus is represented from Genesis to Revelation. The whole Bible was written to reveal who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But he's still writing today. But he's not writing it on paper. He's writing it on his people's hearts. And what is he writing? He's writing the same thing. He's revealing who his Son is. Paul said in verse 3, to show that you are a letter from Christ. We are a letter from Christ. The result of our ministry. In other words, Paul said, from preaching the gospel, God's making you a letter. From the preaching of the word of God, from the preaching of the gospel, you are becoming a letter. Written by who? Not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. See, as you sit here right now, hearing the word of God, God is writing. He's writing. He's writing on our hearts a letter. What is the letter going to say? Well, it should be saying something. What it should be saying is that who Jesus really is. See, God has not put his signature on any church denomination, whether you know it or not. I don't care what they claim. God hasn't signed off on any of them. He don't write there. There's only one place he's writing. It's on the hearts of every born-again believer who has come to the Lord Jesus Christ from the preaching of the gospel. You, Paul said, has become a letter. I become a letter that God is really writing on. So he's not putting his signature on any church organization. He's not putting his signature on LifeGate. He's not putting his signature on World Prayer Tabernacle, where I pastor. He's not putting his signature on that name or that group. He's putting it on his people, individuals, on their hearts. You see, the Israelites in the Old Testament heard the message that God was bringing to them from the Old Testament prophets, saying it's time to break up the fallow ground. You know what fallow ground is. That's when you leave the ground, you don't plant in it, you leave it bare. And what happens, the rain pounding on it, weeds growing, the ground gets hard. So you can't just go back and plant on that again. You got to get in there, you got to start breaking it up. You got to start plowing it. See, and that's what God was saying, it's time now to break up the fallow ground. It's time to break it up. And what was he talking about? He wasn't talking about the ground. He was talking about our hearts. It's time to break it up. Because he is writing on everybody's heart. So just like the ground has to be plowed up to make it suitable to plant, well, the hearts of God's people have to be plowed up where God can start writing on it. See, you can't write on a hard heart. He won't do that. Paul said, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry. Paul was saying, your hearts are a letter that proves that what we're preaching to you really is true because it's taking effect into your life. Paul is saying he's writing a letter on our hearts. Now, what is it saying? What is it saying? Or what should it be saying? If you and I are a letter, then what should it be saying? What is it saying? Well, I believe there's about three things it ought to be saying. And I believe the first thing it should be saying is that this heart is suitable for God to write on. That's the first thing. God can write on this heart. If you look at this letter, you can see that it is right. It's suitable for God to do some work on it. He can write on it. That's the first thing. Paul says the letter shows you a result of our ministry. You have allowed the plow of God to break up the hardened heart with the hammer and the fire of his word. That's what the letter ought to show. This thing's been broken up. This thing's been plowed up. This thing now is ready for God to write whatever he wants to write on it, being suitable. And how does Paul say he writes? He writes by the Holy Ghost. That's the finger of God. The Holy Ghost starts writing on our hearts, being made suitable. That's why is there people who sitting on church pews for years and years and years and somehow it just never changed? Sometimes I say, how much gospel does a person need before their life is changed? How much do they need to hear? Sometimes I've been preaching for 35 years. And sometimes I look at people I've been preaching to for years. How much do I have to preach to these people to see a change in their life? See, Paul was saying to the church, see, I know that when I think of you, I know that what we preach is real because I can see it in you. I can see the change from my ministry. And you see, that is what pastors want to see. We labor over the word of God. And if you think this is easy to do, then try it one day. Say, Pastor, let me preach Sunday. See, God can't just write on anybody. Did you know that? He can't write on anybody. He can only write on His people's hearts. He can't write on everybody's hearts. Because everybody's heart is not suitable to write on. It won't take it. See, God can't just write on anybody. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. In other words, God can't do anything with that person. Can't do anything. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But verse 14 said, but in the New King James Version, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, his heart can't accept it. God can't write on it. It doesn't make any type of impression on him. Doesn't make it. God can't write on unbelievers' hearts. It's unsuitable. You ever tried talking to unbelievers? You try to tell them spiritual things? What? What are you talking about? It don't hit here. It can't hit here. See, because what God is writing on is spiritual. What He is writing is spiritual. It's spiritual. Everything He writes in us is spiritual. It's not foolishness. It's spiritual, and because it's spiritual information. He's writing a letter, saying something. God don't talk trash. What He talks is real, okay? Because God is writing. You know what He's writing? He's writing the life of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the hearts of every believer. As Christ is living out His life in a believer, it's being recorded. See, all the experiences of God, if you can think about all the experiences that you ever had in God, it's only possible because of this. If you have any kind of experience with God, it's because of that. It's because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. I don't care if you got visions, dreams from God, it's all because of this. Because if it wasn't because of that, you couldn't receive anything. See, the spiritual experiences we have in life are just a repetition of His life. See, we're living it out. And it's as if the Holy Spirit is writing a biography of Jesus on us. Our spiritual history is being written down on our hearts. And the only thing that's being recorded, not everything, the only thing that's being recorded are the things of Jesus Christ that has been reproduced in us. Because Paul said that our letter is known and read by everybody. What does God want them to know? There's only one thing God wants them to know by everybody reading the letter that we are. There's only one thing. That God wants. He doesn't want them to know how successful you are in your business. He don't want them to know how many children you have, all of that stuff. There's only one thing that God wants the world, everybody to know when they read your letter is who He is. They should know by reading the letter that God's writing on your heart who He is. Because that's what that whole Bible is about. Everything God writes is about Him. Paul said, our letter is known and read by everybody. So the letter should reveal number one, the first thing people need to understand when they read that letter is that God can write on me. See, I am submitted, I am broken, I'm plowed up, the hammer has broken up all the hard areas. God can actually write on me. You should be able to write on you. The next thing the letter should reveal is our sonship. See, our sonship is the basis of the letter. And it's the life of Christ. Remember, sonship always relates to God's purpose. And here's God's purpose. I had a brother speak to me yesterday. See, he wanted to know what God's purpose is. I'm going to tell you what God's purpose is. How many want to know what God's purpose is for your life? I'm going to tell you what God's purpose is. Very simple. Very simple. And I'm going to read your scripture. My wife and I live by. But then God brought me down and he said, you better read the next verse. We live by Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I live by that. I don't worry about what happened. I don't say, oh, that's a bad thing. Why did God let that happen to me? No, I don't care how bad it is. God knows about it. Somehow or the other, he's going to take that bad thing and he's going to work it out for my good. If you can live by that, you can face life and you can overcome it. Say, well, that's a bad thing. Well, I had a bad thing 10 years ago. 15 years of ministry was wiped out with Hurricane Katrina. We lost everything we had. The whole community was lost. Everything was lost. If it wasn't for this scripture, when I walked in that church building, 6 inches of mud, roof blown off, the whole everything was destroyed. I said, God, you're going to take this? You're going to take this and work it out for my good? I don't even know where to live. I don't know what to do. I want to tell you, 10 years now, we not only have one church, we got four. Not only one church building, we got three. And I'm more excited now than I've ever been in ministry. Then I said, the only thing I could see was this verse of scripture that all things, say all things.
All things.
Okay, I don't know. You got things in your life, I got things in my life, but all those things will work out for the good of those who love God. That's the thing. Keep our heart loving God. Called according to his purpose. Okay, I tell you I live by that, but then God took me to verse 29. Look at this. It says, for whom he foreknew. Did he foreknew Hurricane Katrina? I guarantee you did. He also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is the purpose for all things. All things are for one reason, that he can work it out so we can be conformed to the image of his son. That is what the letter is all about. When people read us, they look at us and say, that's Jesus. Now all things are working together for the good of them that love God and called according to his purpose. And the purpose is to be conformed to his image. So the next time, or all the things that's operating in your life, instead of just crying out to God, saying, God, get me out of this, do this, heal this, give me this, cause this, whatever, we ought to be saying, what am I going to get out of this, Lord? How am I going to be more like you by going through this? That's what we ought to be saying. Not, Lord, you know, solve this, do this, give me this, do that. No, Lord, how am I going to be affected? How is the letter going to be written now? When I get through this, what am I going to look like when I get through? Am I going to look more like you because of it? Then let bring it on. Bring it on. See, we want to look like Jesus, but we don't want to go through anything. We all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. See, the Apostle Paul shares his heart as a pastor and to the Galatian church in chapter 4, verse 19. He says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in pains until childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." You want to know what the pastor's greatest desire is? Is to see the people he's preaching to conform to the image of Christ. That our preaching, our teaching, our sharing, our ministering, our praying for, our loving you, doing all those things. What rewards us is that we can see Christ in you. Then, whoa, I don't care how much I got to study. I don't care how much I got to pray. I don't care how much I got to bear down to get the job done. As long as we can see that in the people we're ministering to, Christ is being formed in them. Whoa, it's worth it. That's what Paul said. It's like I'm in childbirth pains trying to produce something. Now, to be conformed to his image of his son, I want to let you know that it's not his deity. It's not his deity we're trying to be. We're not like the Mormons that we're going to be gods. No, that's not what he came for. What the image of him is the Son of Man, the man Jesus Christ, the second Adam. See, the first Adam, which we God designed us to be like, failed. He failed miserably. And the image of God was lost because of sin. But now the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, restored our image. See, sin is gone. The sin thing was taken care of here. That sin thing marred our image of God. But that's been taken care of, thank God. But Paul said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, when he rose from the dead, that's what we're following. See, what he looked like when he was resurrected from the dead, that's what we're going to look like. Because the Bible tells us one day we're going to see him like he is because we're going to be like him. Can't wait for that day. And it's through his death, his burial, and resurrection we can become the images of him because of that. Now, as humans, living a life in fellowship with God is really a testimony. It's really a testimony. As humans, a life in fellowship with God is really a testimony of who we are. But what is the testimony? Is it our doctrine that we believe? Is it our religious form that we have put together of Christianity, which multitudes hold on to? They hold on to a form of religion, which Paul tells Timothy in the last days, people are going to hold on to a form of religion, but deny the power. The power of God that will change our life. They settle for the outward form. But they denied God changing their life. They denied God plowing up the hard heart. They denied God softening their hearts up where His Holy Spirit can write a letter on us. It's not any of those things. It's not your doctrine. No matter how great it may be, no matter how solid it may be, whatever form of religiosity you might have, it's not any of those things. What it is, it's Christ living in us that matters. That's why I tell people when they want to talk religion, you want to talk religion? I don't want to talk religion. Just answer me this, are you born again? Has God changed your life? Is your heart pliable enough for God to start writing on where I can read it? See, Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it's the life of, see, Paul says, I died, right? That's what he's saying. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. The old person, the old Carl Catalanato died. What's living now is Christ in me. See, Christ in me is the letter. Christ living his life through me is the letter that people in this world will read. Every day, the letter is being added to. Every Katrina that I face, every problem that I face, when I face it as if Jesus was facing it and overcoming it, then it's being written down. He did it just like my son would have done it. Every experience we have, trials, tribulations, temptations, if we face them enduring them as Christ would have endured them, then it'll be written down. Nothing else is going to be written down. The letter is about, what is this about? This is about Christ's life. The whole thing is about Jesus. Well, the letter God is writing in us, it's all about Jesus. It's not about us, it's about him. It's about him living his life in us and through us. That's what Christianity is. It's letting Christ live his life, God's life, through us. He's still living. We are his body, isn't it? What does that mean? That means we're his body. He's living in us and through us. He's living his life through us, his body, the body of Christ. And that is what the world needs to see. Jesus is gone. How are they going to know who Jesus is? They're going to look at his body. They're going to see him in his people. See, we're in the school of the Holy Ghost. I just finished preaching a whole series on school of the Holy Spirit. We're in school, whether you know it or not. We should be learning every day. Every day from his word, through life experiences, God getting us through, God living his life in us, in every situation in life. And I want to tell you, they got many. I don't know what else I got to face in my life. I don't know what you got to face in your life. But I tell you this, if Christ is living in you, you will overcome. You will overcome. I don't care what it looks like, you will overcome. I've been living it for 42 years. I've faced a lot of things. I've faced financial hardship. I've faced physical hardship. I've faced cancer. My wife faced open heart surgery. We've faced those things. We're still here. We're still overcoming no matter what. We need to ask the Lord every time, what am I learning in this and what can you write down on me when I get through this? Did I do it like your son would have done it? When we survive the situation, it gets written down. See, it gets written down. See, Brother Rod, every time we go somewhere, he said, when he introduced me, he said, this is my hero, because he knows what we went through with Katrina, and we're still here. We're still ministry. We didn't give up. We didn't throw our hands up in the air, say, well, God, it's over with. Spent 15 years here building this church up, and now it's wiped out. I'm over. No, I'm not over. I'm not over till he tells me I'm over. You're not over till he says it's over. You don't give up till he tells you to give up, and he ain't thinking about giving up. Remember the letters being written down on our hearts. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church like this. Ephesians 1:18, he says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you might know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Paul prayed that our hearts would be open to understand everything God has for us, the riches of his inheritance, to know the hope that we were called to. We are called to a hope, and that hope is wrapped up in knowing our sonship. You got to know who you are. Let the world say what they want to say about us. I know who I am. I'm a son of the living God. I'm a son bought by the blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know who I am. You need to know who you are. The devil needs to know who you are. The world needs to know who you are. Now, the third thing that the letter ought to be saying to whoever reads it, and Paul says everybody's reading it. See, once you open your mouth that you're a Christian, everybody's looking. They want to know if it's real. So the third thing the letter needs to reveal is that we're in the way. Let me bring some revelation to you here about the Word of God. See, the books of the Bible, they've been put in here, but I want to let you know, they're not in chronological order. They are not placed in the time in which they were written. You got to understand that. Because when we open up the New Testament, the first thing we're reading is what? The Gospels, right? That was not the first books written. The epistles, Paul's letters and Peter's letters, John's letter, Jude's letter, they were written first. Now think about this. Think about if all you had was the letters and you didn't have the gospel. Because you see, the gospels wasn't written. The church didn't have it. All the church had was those letters being passed around. And the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. But you didn't have all this, every step Jesus did and all of that stuff. You didn't have it to read. So what did you really have? The gospels listed first, but they were not written first. See, the gospels is really a biography of Jesus. It was his life and his teaching. That's what there was. The life and teaching of Jesus on earth as a man. That's what it is. But the letters of the church were written for a reason. The letters of the church were written to show us how the life of Jesus that's written in the Gospels can be lived out in our life. Yeah, that's how Jesus lived, but the epistles and the letters were written to instruct us how the life of Jesus can work in us. How can it work? How can the life of Christ be lived out in me? And that's exactly what was taking place there. How can Jesus really become real in us? See, the letter Christ is writing on our hearts contains only that which is real. You might have a lot of stuff in your life that's not real. But the only thing that's being written down in the letter is real. Because you see, everything written that God has written in here is real. So he's not going to write anything in your life that is not real. You got false thinking, false teaching. None of that's getting written there. Your philosophy is not going to be written there. The only thing that's going to be written there is what is true. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote that Bible, and it's the Holy Spirit that Paul said is writing the letter on our heart. So he don't write anything that's not true. Everything that's written in us is going to be truth. See, God could care less about your religious works, about your religious thinking. He could care less about that. The Holy Spirit is only going to write down what is real about Jesus Christ where other people can read it. He don't want them reading anything that's not true. The Bible said that the believers were called Christians. Now you remember, they wasn't called, that wasn't a name that the church came up with. The world out there called them that. In Acts chapter 11, they were first called Christians at the city of Antioch. They were called that. They didn't come up with that name for themselves. But there was another name that was more widely known to the people of the world than the name Christian. And that was the Way. It said, oh, those people are of the Way. Read it. You'll see. They were in the Way. They kept saying, those people who were in the Way. The Way. They were known by that name. What gave them that idea? They were in the people of the Way. Was it their different way of life? Maybe. Was it their preaching and teaching? Maybe. Or could it have been that Jesus said, I am the Way? And that those people were going that way. You got it? They were called the people of the Way because Jesus said he was the Way and they are going that way, so they must be people of the Way. They saw people going that way. These people were going that way. There were people, they didn't know anything about church organization. They didn't know anything about Catholics, Baptists, Presbyterians. No, there were people in the Way. They were going that way because they were being led that way, not by no church organization, by the Holy Ghost. They were being driven by the Holy Ghost. Just like the Holy Ghost after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible says he was driven by the Holy Ghost to go into the wilderness to be tempted. He was driven by the Holy Ghost. These people were driven to go the Way. That's how we claim to be Holy Ghost people. This Holy Ghost that's in us should be driving us to go the Way. And that way is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing else. In that way, we learn of Christ. And when we learn of Christ and Christ's life is living in us, then it is being written down by the Holy Ghost. See, there are truths about God living in us that's in us right now that's been written by the Holy Ghost. That's the letter. So our letter, and this is something you need to have on your mind, every word that comes out of your mouth, every action you take, that if I'm a letter of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it saying to everybody that sees it? What is it saying? Because they're reading. They're reading it. You might think they don't see anything. Yes, they're reading it. We are people of the Way. Your neighbors are going to read you. Your family is going to read you. People you work with is going to read you. People you go to school with is going to read you. Everybody's reading you. But what does our letter say, or what should it be saying? First of all, it should be saying, I'm something for God to write on. See, I'm submitted, repented, broken. God can write on me. Whatever, he can write it. See, because I'm in the Way. I'm going that way. I've been going that way for 42 years, and I'm going to go that way to the end. I'm going that way. And anybody that knows me know I'm going that way. I've been called narrow-minded, narrow thinking, narrow whatever you want to call me, because the Bible says the way is narrow. And I preached last week about seeing the things of God, having your eyes open, like Paul said, he prayed for the church to have the eyes of their hearts open. What's going to happen when our eyes, the more our eyes, we don't see everything yet. I want to tell you, you haven't seen it all yet. God's going to show you even more as we go. But the thing is, the more he opens our eyes to, the narrower the road gets. You see, new Christians, when they get saved, you know, they're walking a wide road yet. They're still dipping over here, dipping over there, dipping over here. But you see, as they grow and they mature and God begins to open their eyes, they realize, whoa, I can't walk over there no more. I can't go over here no more. I can't go with that crowd no more. So your world starts getting closer. See, you start getting narrower. See, I can't do those things. And the more you involve yourself in ministry, see, when you're just sitting on a pew and you're not involved in anything, see, your road is wide. You can skip church on Sunday. You can go play golf. You can go fishing. You can go do whatever you want. It don't matter. But you see, once you get in leadership position and people are looking at you, you can't do that kind of stuff. See, your road gets narrow. And it becomes just a one-way street. You don't have them options anymore. I don't have them options to take off on Sunday and go to Talladega and watch the NASCARs. I can't do that. What is my church going to think? Where's Brother Carl? Oh, he's in Talladega watching the races. Whoa, and I'm here in church? I should be there too. Because you see, the only thing that my letter should contain is the only thing the Holy Spirit can write. And he's not going to write Talladega. He's not going to write Las Vegas. He's not going to write the casinos. He's not going to write any of that. The only thing he's going to write is something that reveals the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. The life of Christ that is living in us. The world around, Paul says, this world out here needs to see the letter. And what they need to see the letter is saying, there's only one way. These people are in the way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a letter that they need to read when they look at us. And it really needs to be saying something. Think about it. What is your letter saying? I want you to bow your heads with me for a minute. I don't know the hearts of everybody here. God knows it. I don't know the condition of everybody here. God knows it. I don't need to know it. The only thing I need to know from preaching the gospel is that, is your heart right with God to where he can write on it? I can't write on it. Nobody can write on it. God wants to write on your heart. I want to ask you the question here today. Sin makes your heart hard. God can't write on a sin-hardened heart. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I've never given my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to do that today. Whether you're a young person, old person, it really doesn't matter who you are. If you say, Pastor, I see God's not writing anything on my heart because my heart's been hard towards him. But I want to be a letter. I want to be a letter that people can read and they can know who you are by reading my letter. You're here today, where every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need to come to Jesus right now. I need to come to Jesus. Is anyone? Just raise your hand. Let me see it. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand with me? I'm going to do what I do at my church. Every Sunday, I get everybody to come to the altar. You know why? Because I want to know if you heard what God said. And I think if we heard what God said, we need to respond to it. And come surrender. Come surrender our hearts to what God has just shown us and what God has just preached to us. Let's confirm it. Say, God, I heard that. I'm coming to the altar right now, and I'm giving my whole heart to you. I want you to write. I want you to write your letter so everybody that's in my world can read it and they'll know who you are. So step out from where you are. You could turn that music up some and let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes. And let's just tell the Lord, my heart is yours. You write on it. Break it. Do what you have to do to it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know who's writing? It's the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Ghost. Write. Write the letter of Christ in our hearts. Conform us to the image of your Son. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in me. Like a rushing